From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The majority of Puerto Ricans are still living without electrical power more than a month after the devastating Hurricane Maria hit the island. As the Trump administration is facing scrutiny for its poor response to the emergency, many are questioning why the largest federal contract to rebuild Puerto Rico's power grid went to a tiny Montana-based firm with only two full-time employees. The firm Whitefish Energy is based in Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke's hometown, and it was mysteriously awarded a $300 million contract over more experienced firms. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump recently gave his administration a 10 out of 10 for the federal response to Maria, but San Juan Mayor Carmen Yulín Cruz shot back, saying it was more like 10 out of 100. She has also criticized the contents of federal food aid to Puerto Ricans, which apparently included shelf-stable junk food items like chocolate pudding and Skittles. My guest is Sammy Namir Olivares. He is the Communications Associate with the Center for Popular Democracy. Welcome to the program, Sammy.
Thank you.
So last time we spoke, it was just days after the hurricane hit. It's now been over a month. Can you give us an assessment of where Puerto Ricans are right now in terms of access to power and how they are living without power for so long?
Right. The situation in Puerto Rico is still very dire. It hasn't improved much or anything basically since we visited the island 2 weeks ago. Three-thirds of the population, 76% of the population still does not have electricity, and one-third of the population still don't have clean drinkable water. Still 26% of Puerto Ricans do not have water service, but those ones who have water need to boil it, but then they don't have electricity as well. So there is a lot of concerns about public health issues and plagues, and there has been confirmed 4 deaths related to bacteria found in contaminated water. And there's also confirmed people drinking from Superfund sites that are contaminated with a lot of chemicals and other pollutants. So I think that the response has been very slow, and the federal and local government has not reached yet a lot of the rural marginalized towns in the island, and there's a lot of logistical challenges that lie ahead.
I understand that a lot of Puerto Ricans are essentially having to turn to, you know, the kind of survival skills one would need if one was camping, but this has been going on for over a month, and there seems to be no end in sight. How does that, you know, how do you make dinner? How do you send your kids to school? How do you access healthcare when there is just no electricity where you live?
Right, exactly. How can you do that? That's the question. But Puerto Ricans for so long, for decades, have been struggling with lack of economical development, unemployment, and a very oppressive economic relationship. So they have been organizing for decades and engaging in survival economies and coming together as communities to feed their children, their families. And that's what have come out at this moment is that legacy of self-organizing communities. And that's what they are doing, basically cooking for the neighbor, you know, not delaying meals, and basically finding a way to help not only their families, but the elderly that lives in the same neighborhood and other people that have the same access to food and water.
As far as you know, Sami, how fast is the electrical power grid being rebuilt? Trump made much of the fact that the power grid was very vulnerable before the hurricane hit, as if to make it clear that it's not the government's responsibility. However, we do know that rather than fixing its electrical grid, Puerto Ricans were forced to pay back their debt to Wall Street firms. So are we seeing a rebuilding happening actively, or is this just kind of, happening in a very, very slow level?
Right. So it's ironic that President Trump acknowledges that the power grid in Puerto Rico was very, very antiquated and damaged before the hurricane. And he has been president for 6 months and he did not do anything to repair it. So the question is, why did the federal government did not take any action before the hurricane? And if they knew that that was the case, why is not they did not prepare a more robust response to it? So the Puerto Rico governor, Ricardo Rosselló, committed to restore 100% of the electricity by December, meaning 2 months. And the reality is that 76% of the island still does not have power. The news coming out of the rebuilding is that there are foreign companies, American companies have been hired to do this job.
American mainland companies, yeah.
Exactly, and we don't know the capabilities that they will have to restore that quickly. And from previous experiences of hurricanes, they will take up to months, if not a year, for some communities to receive power. The problem lies in that Puerto Rico relies heavily on fuel, and we need to move forward and use this opportunity to build and rebuild Puerto Rico with clean energy and other sustainable sources of power that can move ahead and then make us less dependent of the very costly dependency on fuel that has made Puerto Rico the most costly electricity in the United States, and Puerto Ricans have been paying that cost for so long.
One of the things that we saw in the weeks after the hurricane hit were photographs of aid from the U.S. mainland sitting on the piers, not being distributed. President Trump has talked about how it's not FEMA's responsibility to distribute food, aid, etc. What has happened of that? All of the items sent by donors from the mainland and that had been languishing on the docks, have they been distributed?
We still don't know, but what we know, there's still some of that aid. It's sitting on the port because of a very bureaucratic and slow response and coordination between the local and federal government, including FEMA, and that's not true. FEMA was tasked to help and collaboration with the local government to develop the strategy on the food and aid distribution, and that included all this cargo that came up to the ports, and we keep receiving notifications and complaints that a lot of the aid that has been sent by Puerto Ricans and other people in the United States are still sitting in the ports and is not being distributed fairly. And the one that actually gets released from the ports, there's also reports that the local government is distributing it in a very unequitable ways. But also the challenge is like Puerto Rico has 78 towns and it's very complicated. And what we have demanded is decentralized strategy for this distribution, and that the local government and federal government allow nonprofit organization, community organizations, and the diaspora to actually come in and help with that distribution, because so far the strategy impedes the third sector efforts to the rebuilding of Puerto Rico, because they want to control all the aid that is being sent to Puerto Rico, and their lack of human capabilities and logistical challenges are slowing this process of the distributing of the aid.
What about the kind of aid package that the government is considering now? The Senate is moving this week to approve nearly $40 billion in disaster aid. This wouldn't just be for Puerto Rico. It would be for all the hurricane-stricken areas in the United States. There's been criticism that this isn't aid that's going directly to affected communities, but rather to the insurance companies that are, taking a hit because they're having to pay out so much. But that's what insurance companies are there for. When you take people's money and then you pay them out when there's been devastation. What do you make of the federal government's and specifically Congress's appropriation of money?
To begin with, this bill for aid recovery, it's a fraction of what our communities need. This $36 billion aid will go not only to Puerto Rico, but for Texas, Florida, and now the wildfires in California. And to have an idea, the estimate losses in damages from the three hurricanes are over $3 billion. So we're talking a minuscule fraction of what we need to rebuild. Only Puerto Rico suffered a $95 billion losses in damage. So it's the 36.
So Puerto Rico was the hardest hit of all the U.S. areas hit by hurricanes.
So this, the $36 billion will be one third of what Puerto Rico will need to actually go back to what it was, not actually thrive and recover from this. So first, it's very insufficient, it's inhumane, and we call not only for more funds, but actually for what kind of recovery process these funds are going to fund FEMA that is not actually developing and rebuilding Puerto Rico and Florida the way it should be, and also the insurance companies and other industries that are gonna profit. So we want also a clear understanding of where this money is going that is definitely not designed to go to the most hard hit communities in Puerto Rico.
What about the work that your organization is doing on the ground? The Center for Popular Democracy has started the Maria Fund. Actually, I understand even just days before the hurricane made landfall, anticipating that it would devastate Puerto Rico. And the last time we spoke, you told us a little bit about the kinds of things that the organization was doing. Can you give us an update?
Yes. As I said in the last interview, the day before the hurricane, we start preparing a fund to respond to the devastation that we knew that Hurricane Maria was going to impact Puerto Rico. And after that, we have raised a lot of funds from donors across the country that are very concerned about the situation in Puerto Rico. And the Maria Fund differs from other funds because what we're trying to do is due to the lack of a robust federal response, we are trying to help organizations and communities that are already working with the rebuilding of Puerto Rico. So this fund will go to organizations in the ground, local organizations that existed before the hurricane or that have organized after the hurricane to help their own communities. So this will be go funds directly to Puerto Ricans, Puerto Rican-led organizations that are helping their communities with cleaning the neighborhoods. They are organizing community kitchens, and they are developing other efforts to help distribute food and water in the communities that they know how to get and in the way they know that it will work. So a group of us from the Center for Popular Democracy, representing the Maria Fund, visited Puerto Rico to directly bring funds from the Maria Fund because of the lack of logistical challenges, such as like the issues with the banks.
And we right, you couldn't just wire the money, so you literally had to take it with you.
Today, we take with us part of the fund so we could actually go and invest in these local organizations to allow them continue the efforts that they already rebuilt. And we saw, we went to Caguas in the middle of the of Puerto Rico, and we saw a community kitchen that it's like feeding around over 300 families. And there I met like sick people, elderly, and a single mother with children, that the only food that they were eating were from this community kitchen, where community members come together and use the resources to cook for breakfast and lunch. And we're also supporting Taller Salud in Loíza, which is the town in the east town, in the East Coast, where it's a predominantly Black population. And they also have a community kitchen and a self-empowerment program for these communities. And also El Caño Martín Peña is the organization that received funds. That is like the most poor community in San Juan, in the capital, where over 3,000 people lost their roofs. So that's what we are doing. And now we also announced the creation of a 10 members of a board, a committee that will decide how is these funds are gonna use. And the committee is completely composed by Puerto Ricans, half of them in the diaspora and half of them in the island. And these Puerto Ricans, activists, lawyers, and people with the nonprofit experience will decide how are this money will allocate it to organizations in the ground. And we will be funding organizations that first are led by Puerto Ricans, second, that are committed to not only immediate relief, but also to rebuilding of Puerto Rico in the long term for a equitable and just recovery. And also that has that vision of restoring the design and the power in the communities in Puerto Rico.
And I understand that because it's become a sort of a cash society in parts of Puerto Rico now, as you said, with the banks not working, if there's no electricity, ATMs aren't working, the fact that there are these networks on the ground that your organization from the mainland is taking cash donations to, I imagine that that's kind of, it allows you to do what other bigger government agencies cannot do. And it might also be stimulating the local economy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the local economy is very slow at this moment because most of the businesses are closed. Mm. But what will help the local economy is actually getting back people, restore the electricity. Until that does not happen, the local economy will basically dormant and dead. So by helping these local communities being, getting food and water, we're in the survival mode at this moment. And as long as these organizations can help these communities get back to their feet, then we can, these people can actually go to their jobs and open the businesses and then start slowly rebuilding Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. But at this moment, that's why these organizations are overwhelmed trying to at least feed the hungry and the thirst people who are like lacking a lot of water.
Sammy, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out websites for the Maria Fund and the Center for Popular Democracy.
Absolutely. The Hurricane Maria Community Relief Fund, it's called the Maria Fund, and the website is mariafund.org. And there you can find all kind of information about the fund, the board of the committee, and also the organizations that the fund is helping. And the Center for Popular Democracy is the one who created it, but it's, you know, giving up the power to this Puerto Rican-led committee. But if you want to know more about the center that I created, the fund is, you can visit populardemocracy.org. And there we have more information about all our programs, including our staff, that some of them are Puerto Rican, working on these recovery efforts. So I repeat, the website is mariafund.org.
And we'll post links to those websites from our site later today. Sammy, thanks so much.
Thank you so much to you.
Sami Namir Olivares is Communications Associate with the Center for Popular Democracy, and we've been discussing the ongoing struggle of rebuilding in Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.